You're listening to Mind Your Own Business. Hi, I'm Scott Sullivan, your host. Mind Your Own Business is a weekly show that we do talking to some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs, helping you to be better at being a business professional by learning from all of the experience that these entrepreneurs and CEOs bring from all around the world. Exclusively here on Inspired News Radio. And now it's time for Mind Your Own Business.
Well, it's a great day right here at Inspired News Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Mind Your Own Business. I am your host, your guide, your Sherpa, Scott Sullivan. You all know me as Sales with Sully, and you know that every single week we put together shows for you right here at Mind Your Own Business that are going to leave nuggets in the stream that are going to help make you better in the business world. That's what it's all about. Every single week, we do this because we have guests that want to help you be better at what you do in the business world. And this week is absolutely no exception. Perk up your ears and listen. I'm going to tell you, I have been trying so hard to get this guy on the show, and I am so excited that he finally, in his busy schedule, took a minute to sit down with us and actually have a conversation. Of course, I'm talking about the CEO and founder of Peterson Acquisitions, the guy who sells and buys and trades and brokers multi-million dollar deals that are companies, things that you are looking for right now as an entrepreneur, things that you need to know as you're building your business. What is your exit strategy and how are you going to do it? This is the guy that you want to know. So, of course, Chad Peterson, welcome to Mind Your Own Business. And how the heck are you today, my brother?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm glad to be on your show, and I appreciate the good introduction. And, let me know what I need to pay you for that introduction. It was fantastic. No, seriously, I'm glad to be here. And what I really want to do for your audience is give them nuggets of information, help them understand what it is that I do, and perhaps maybe change their mind a little bit about how to look at business, at least in the space that we're going to be speaking of today. And maybe some light bulbs go off with your audience, and maybe it really helps them with understanding acquisitions and how to grow through acquisitions and some of the mistakes that are made along the way and how they can really improve their life by understanding what it is that I do.
That's fantastic. That's exactly what we're hoping to, because you're on both sides of this equation. And I want to, so all of my listeners are primarily business people, and they're either want to be entrepreneurs that are just getting started, or they're deep into the trenches like me, been around for a long time. And they're looking at, maybe they're looking at an exit strategy, or better yet, which I think you just touched on, which I'm really excited to talk about today, and that is, how do I grow my business? Because if you want to grow your business, you can go out and get some investment, you can grow organically, or you can grow through acquisition, which is one of the things you and I talked about, which I'm so excited to touch on. But as all of my listeners know, we always start with the origin story. So we have to go back, we got to find out about where this mountain man was born. How did you get into this business? I mean, you don't just wake up one day and say, you know what, I think I'm going to go sell some businesses. So tell us a little bit about where you came from and kind of how you got your feet on this path.
Well, I will, and I'll just zip right through it. That way we can quickly understand where I came from and who I am today because of it. When I was real young, I came from a pretty tumultuous childhood. My home life wasn't great, say the absolute least, and I believe that spurred me to go do the thing, you know, the thing that you need to do. You know, I mean, right now you're doing the thing, you know, you're on your podcast and you've done it, and there was something in me as a young child that just realized that if it was meant to be, it was up to me. I knew that the Calvary wasn't coming. I knew it all depended on me. Now, of course, at that age, that kind of responsibility is hard to fathom, but I still knew it now, but I didn't have the knowledge to back it up. So what I would do, is I would knock on doors, and I realized that if you just do something, people will pay you for it. I mean, you walk dogs, they'll pay you for it. If you ask them to pick weeds out of the flower beds, they'll pay you for it. Now we're talking $5 and $10 here, but that's where I started. And that entrepreneurial spirit was just in me. And so then I started taking my earnings and going to garage sales and buying things and then reselling them. And, you know, I would buy from one garage sale and then I would take another garage sale and say, hey, would you sell this for me? And I'd put some markup on it. And a lot of it was that I was a kid. They wanted to help me, you know, just a cute little kid. And they thought, man, this guy's, you know, trying to make some money and, you know, how great is this? So they wanted to help me out with it. But as that grew further, you know, next thing you know, I get older, I get stronger. I'm mowing grass. I'm doing landscaping. I had built a company in my teens, and I was making far more than my teachers. And I actually got on a work program because I just could not stay in school. I mean, school and me, I mean, I was allergic to it. I couldn't stand it. You know, I was in those four white walls with that guy who, you know, the guy who's wearing a sport coat with his elbow patches on and, you know, doing the comb over thing to, you know, cover his head up, and he's trying to teach me about life. And I just couldn't listen to him because, you know, over the weekend I had made more than what he's going to make this week. And so it very much so was a respect thing for me. And no disrespect for, you know, with teachers, because they have their place in life. But me personally, I could not stay in school. And so I got on the work program. I was doing really well. Well, I ended up selling that company that I had built in order to get myself to flight school. And because I told myself, you know, if I'm ever going to work for anybody else, it's going to be for flying planes. I'm not going to do something else, because flying a plane, you're very much so self-employed. You know, when you need to fly, you fly the plane, you park it, you go to a hotel, you know, and tomorrow's a new day, and you fly another plane somewhere else. And it's very, very simple. And so I figured I would do that. Well, I became a commercial pilot. I was flying planes until 9/11. 9/11, I lost my career, and I went back to my roots of being self-employed. Well, back then, if you remember, and you're certainly old enough to remember, but the mortgage boom happened right around 2002. Mortgages had dropped, the interest rates had dropped, the banks couldn't keep up, and so they opened up a whole secondary market for mortgage brokers to now be trained and know how to bring in the clientele and then ultimately sell them off to the banks. Well, I was in the subprime mortgage business. And I started with me and me only, me in an office that could facilitate 10 people. It was me and a desk. And I cold called 60, 80, 100 people a day, didn't matter what it took. And I was selling mortgages every day. And then I would bring on a new hire, or maybe bring on three or four new hires, and I'd lose two of them. And I'd bring on four or five more hires and lose three of them. That's how it went. And pretty soon, I had 120 employees working for me, and we were doing $10 million a year in revenue. I was 24, 25 years old. I was making 30% margin on that. So you figure I was making $2, $3 million a year at 24 years old. Absolutely killing it. And then I opened up a title company. And the title company, it was obvious why I did that, because, you know, I'm already doing mortgages. I might as well open up a title business. So every title that went through my door, I made, you know, $400, $500, $600 off of it. So I'm making $15,000 a week just off of title work, much less what I was making out of the mortgage company. So I was doing extremely well. And similar to 2001, I was in aviation, and, you know, planes hit the Pentagon and hit the towers. Well, now in 08, I am in the mortgage business, the subprime mortgage business. And guess what? Subprime mortgage business just got shut off immediately. It was like they turned off the water faucet. It was over. So I had five leases, 120 people, and it was over. Show's over. I mean, I literally had to just pack up everything and close down the shop. And so I literally went broke from that, because I had just signed 5 years of leases in 2007. I had signed 5 years leases, not only on the properties, but all my equipment as well, all my copiers, printers, my mail machines, even computers, even office furniture. I mean, I had 5 years of leases still outstanding. And I also had a $5 million warehouse line, and that was my own money. I had $5 million of my own money. And we were writing mortgages on it. Well, a couple of those defaulted. So, I mean, I was in massive debt in 2008. So I went from multimillionaire to completely broke in 2008.
Wow.
And from that, kind of a funny little story happened. I was like, well, what in the hell am I going to do now? Well, I was staying with my girlfriend at the time, and she was nagging at me because the deck looked like hell, you know, the deck, back deck. And I said, well, okay, I'll get to it. Well, one of those things. Well, finally, she was just getting really, really pissy with me. And I was like, fine, I'll do it. So I go up to the hardware store, and I asked the guys up there what to do and how to do and all that. Well, I go stay in the deck, and it looked like hell. I mean, anybody could have done a better job than what I did, is what I thought. Okay. Right? So all right. I'm like, wow, okay, well, you know, this needs to be done a better way, because this doesn't look right. So I start looking around my hometown, and I'm looking at all this nasty wood that needed help. So I started a company, full-fledged company, doing it. Next thing you know, I had three vans. We're killing it. We're making $1,000 a day per van. We hit the market with marketing, and I built that company, and I sold it. And it was great. It was a fantastic success story. I mean, it was a new concept, a new business that hit the scene, and I just really did well at it. And I sold that business, and I started another business. It was a credit repair business. Built it, and I sold it. And then after that, I built another business and sold it. And so basically, I had so much experience in being self-employed since I was a little kid. And all the way up through, I've built and sold six of my own companies. And so a friend of mine just nudged me and said, hey, man, you're so good at this. Why don't you start helping other people do it? And I thought, well, that's a concept. I haven't thought about that before. Now, why don't I just build my own and sell my own? Because what you do is you build a company. Let's just say it's making you, you know, 250 grand a year. Well, as soon as you sell it, let's say you sell it for 750, you just leapfrog your way through 3 years of income. And you get to go start something new the next year. So every 3 years, I was tripling what I was making annually. And so I thought, well, if I do it for other people, that's great. But anyway, long story short, I ended up just starting to do it for other people. And that's where Peterson Acquisitions was born. I also, the real reason Peterson Acquisitions was born is because I sold those companies, those six companies, through brokers. And the brokers, I was not impressed by them. And it's the work ethic, it's the drive, it's the responsibility, it's the determination, it's the follow-up, it's how aggressive that you need to be in order to sell businesses. And I just wasn't seeing it. You know, I wasn't seeing it out of the brokers. And so I thought, man, if I bring my work ethic and my talent to this, this will be a totally different game. And so I brought my work ethic, my intensity, my core values, my dedication to the party of buying, selling businesses, mergers, acquisitions, and just have really done a real good job at it. And since then, I've been ranked the number one broker in the country, and my work has been mentioned in Forbes and Inc. and Seeking Alpha and USA Today and all sorts of places. And in addition to that, I wrote Swinging Doors, A Guide to Selling Your Business, and that book sells around the world. So I've just really had a blast at it. My intensity is what gets me through. I'm goal oriented. I don't stop until I win. I don't lose. If I temporarily lose, then I just figure out a way how to not do that again. And I ultimately get the win. And that's who I am, man.
That is fantastic. So you've got so much stuff there. I got to unpack just a little bit of it. First of all, what my listeners, I want to make sure that they heard this, because I want to make sure that we put a very fine point on the fact is that your success came from now. And I'm sorry I laughed. I did not mean to do that. But when you said you painted the deck and it was just crap, I thought, you know, it just struck me so funny. But your success came out of a failure. You realized that you had done such a poor job of staining and painting your deck that you said there's got to be a better way. And your solution wasn't to go find somebody. Your solution was to go build a company that does it better. Because if that's the experience out there, you're probably not alone. There's probably other people, like you said, that would pay you to pull weeds, pay you to paint the deck. So I love that. And if you're an entrepreneur listening to our voices today, you should be, that should be resonating with you, that the failure is not failure. The failure is just a learning experience, and it's an opportunity to move forward in a different direction, or to take it, even, I hate the word that we overuse the word pivot, but to take your business in a different direction, because what you found was that path just doesn't work, or it's too thorny, or you just need to blaze a different trail. I love that. I absolutely love that.
Yeah. And that's such a well-made point to your audience there. And, you know, and I think you said it best, and I'll repeat it, but you know, it's one thing to do something and say, you know what, I screwed that up, I'm gonna hire somebody else to fix it. It's another one to say, wait a minute, there's opportunity here. Because if I went and I asked the right questions and I still performed in this way, something's wrong. And so, I created a whole new system, and, people were really enjoying it. I built a business off of that. So yeah, I mean, that's just how an entrepreneur looks at it, I guess.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And the other thing I wanted to point out for that, I wanted to unpack from that whole story, which is, by the way, which is fantastic, is the fact that at every single turn, even though without using the word, you started talking about going from mortgages to titles, being vertically integrated, starting to look at both sides of the supply chain. Who else are you paying? And Peterson Acquisitions was born out of the fact is, I love when you said you just weren't impressed with the brokers. So you were selling, you were building these companies. These were, I mean, entrepreneurs. I say this about my father. My father's passed long ago, but my dad built his own business. I came from an entrepreneurial family, and my father built his own business. And one of the things we talked about as I was an adult is, hey, I spent more time with my business than I did with you, Scott. So, and it wasn't personal. I mean, he wasn't, you know, you talk about loving your business. You love, you're an entrepreneur. You're putting your blood, your sweat, your tears. I always say to my listeners that you know the entrepreneur because they're the ones that'll trade a 40-hour-a-week job for an 80-hour-a-week job for the same amount of money.
So. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah. but they have this dream, they have this yearning, this need that has to get filled. And if they don't fill it, they will just never be happy. I love what you also said about school. First of all, the fact that you were allergic to it. I love that. And I also, and I did not take it the wrong way. When you said I'm making more money than my teacher, there's two statements there that are bad. One is that we undervalue we put such a low value on the people that are actually educating our school system or educating our children, and our school system is in such disarray. First of all, that's a whole nother political statement we're not going to talk about. But secondly, the fact is that, you know, a 16-year-old or a 17-year-old that's still in school can go out and hustle. And instead of being the guy who goes home and plays video games for 8 hours after he does his homework or doesn't do his homework, you're the guy that went out and mowed lawns for 6 hours and made more in the weekend than the teacher's going to make all week long. So there is a different work ethic. And now, also, I want you to caution our listeners, entrepreneurship is not for the faint of heart. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, it's not for the faint of heart, and let me say it this way. I mean, you know, education is fine for some people. I believe that education is now reaching its most useless point ever in times, because, you know, education used to be a commodity that the schools had. You know, and you know, education, you know, universities and schools across the world, they had the information. Well, now we have the World Wide Web. You know, education is not so much a commodity that is held by institutions anymore. You know, I'm sure if you look hard enough, you could figure out how to do brain surgery online. So,
probably.
You know, so what we have now is we have an unreal ability. The first time in history, and if you think about this, it's a very profound thought that for the first time in history, we literally can get online and educate ourselves specific to what we want to do. So let me break that down. You know, let's just say that you think you need to go to school to get a college degree, because that has been the mantra and the moniker for so long that without a college degree, you're just not going to make it in this life. Well, that is very much similar to when we were young and they said, hey, they're starving people in China. You don't waste food. Well, guess what? That's turned into an obese society. Okay, so what worked at one time isn't working today, and school is not working today. Economists can't even make it make sense anymore. Okay, so there's more people with college degrees waiting in line for a job than ever.
With $200,000 of debt before exactly. they even get a job. Now, right. I don't want to turn this into something political, but I agree with you.
And I'm not. But what I am saying is I'm going to make a greater point that if you need to go to school and you need to learn 45 subjects or whatever to get some college degree, we are in the greatest time ever to be able to mimic others. See, that's what we're doing. Call it learning from others or mimicking others. If you want to subscribe to whoever on YouTube, you could learn about 80 or 90% of what they do. They're not going to give you every little bitty nugget of, you know, there are some secrets in what they're doing they're not going to reveal. But you can get 80 or 90% of it, and with a little bit of drive and work ethic, you can mimic that person. If you want to follow Grant Cardone, or if you want to follow Dave Ramsey, or whatever your belief systems are at that time, you can learn what they're teaching. You don't have to go to a university anymore. Education is no longer a commodity. And somehow I knew that whenever I was in those four walls of that school, I just knew that what they were trying to teach me, I didn't need to know.
A Renaissance man ahead of his time.
I just did not need to know it. And so, yeah. So what I would do is I would actually, you know, I got on the work program. I would go to school for 3 hours. I would go out and work, and then my friends that got out of school at 2:50, they would come and work for me until dark. So I had employees. I was in my teens, and so I was working 7 days a week as long as the weather was right. And that kind of work ethic and drive and all that is the same thing that has kept me going throughout all of this. And so I don't minimize education for those that need it. If you want to be a doctor, if you want to be a scientist, if you want to be whatever, well, you got to go that route. But anymore, if you're going just to get a general degree, you can very easily sidestep that whole entire expensive process, and you can go right to mimicking others online. Find out whoever you want to be. You want to study Robert Kiyosaki or any real estate mogul, they're doing videos. They're teaching you how to do it. The information is all around us. And it's pretty fascinating to me. And I think it's maybe one of the greatest luxuries of our time, having such information readily available to us, where the universities and schools are no longer holding the information captive and making us sit in those four white wall rooms to learn the information. I think it's fantastic.
I agree 100%. So I also, along those same lines, I want to unpack this a little bit too, is that a couple of things. One is the world is more specific than it's ever been. You know, you look at a college education, and we're not poo-pooing that. If you want to go get a college education, great. However, I'm going to tell you is, you know, how much of that is actually applicable to what we're going to do today? Because I don't want to say we're niched down, but the world, there's never been a greater specificity in the universe than there is today, because you don't have a general practitioner in medicine anymore. You have a guy that only, or a person who only does ear, nose, and throat, or only does toes, or only does, it's become right. So specific that, you know, everything. And then think about business. I talk about this all the time. You don't have a general practitioner in business anymore. You have somebody that's only in charge of SEO, somebody that's only in charge of, you know, ads, you know, Google ads. If you want to niche this down, you're exactly right. Somebody asked me the other day, you know, Scott, instead of going and getting your master's degree, what would you, you know, are you using that? And I said, you know, back when I did it in the Stone Age, I had to type my thesis on a Smith Corona electric typewriter, right? So we didn't have computers. We didn't, you know, used carbon paper, and everybody goes, what the hell's that? Nobody knows what a carbon paper is today. But, you know, we didn't even have fax machines. There was no such thing like that in my world. So I say I would gladly have given that up. I would take those 3 or 4 years of my life and go carry the briefcase of the number one insurance broker in the entire state, and just sit in the room and be quiet and learn. And that I would then have an annuity that would be worth $50, $60, $100 million right now, from that same amount of time. But then the other aspect I wanted that you touched on, but you just barely glossed on it, and I want to go back over, is just having the knowledge doesn't give you anything, because it's knowledge is not power. It's knowledge plus action. So you can know all of this. You can learn everything from Dave Ramsey. Great guy, by the way. You can learn everything from Tony Robbins. You can learn anything. You get all the motivation in the world. But unless you take that first step, you're just sitting at home playing video games still. So let's talk about
that. What's
the action that you do. You're a grinder. You're a man of action. You're a man of decisiveness. You go out there and say, you know, a good plan today is a whole hell of a lot better than a great plan tomorrow. And you take action. That's what makes you successful, right?
Absolutely, it does. And to that point, a lot of people come to me and they want to work with me and they believe that their work is done. In other words, you know, they've held in their gut for 4 or 5 years going to college, and they think that degree is now, you know, that's their golden ticket, the golden key, and they're going to walk in, and now they sit in that chair like, what company is going to offer me the most money? And when they come interview with me, I say, listen, I don't care about your degree. You know, your life just started. Now, what I'll tell them is, okay, what I can offer you is I can offer you a job where you can make literally unlimited income. And anybody who works for me could make, I mean, if you really wanted to, you could make over $1 million a year working for me. And I give them an opportunity to sit their ass in a chair with a phone and a CRM system where they make cold calls. And so I will take somebody with a college degree and I will say, sit there and make 80 phone calls a day for the next month, and you will probably be looking at making $250,000 to $400,000 your first year. And do you know that people don't do it?
Yeah, I know they won't. You know why? No. It's beneath them. they feel like that. Hey, I've elevated myself to a higher level than that. That's not what I do anymore. You hire me because I'm smart and I can do this and I can do that. That's not why you hire people. You pay people X so that you can get X plus work out of them. That's why you have an employee.
Yeah. So whenever they say they're not going to do that, I say, well, I guess you don't want to be successful. And, you know, because I still do it. I still sit there on my computer. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have to. Yeah, so, if you're an entrepreneur, we just said it earlier, and that is you're willing to do what it takes. You're willing, if you're an entrepreneur right now, listen to our voice. Maybe you're on your commute. Maybe you're doing windshield time. Maybe you're getting ready this morning. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, that's what's going on in your world right now. You're probably not sitting still. You're probably doing three other things. You're answering an email. You're in between phone calls. You're on your way to your next appointment. That's exactly what an entrepreneur is. An entrepreneur is the person who's willing to put in that work, because the reward is supposed to be, by being the entrepreneur, the reward is supposed to be, you know, I'm building this for myself and my family and me. And there's some reward at the end of it. I'm not trading my time for money, which means I'm working for somebody else. So two things. First of all, I'm really glad that you are giving an opportunity to people to have a job and actually make money, which is great. And I also appreciate the fact you're fostering the entrepreneurship. But if you're working at Home Depot, and I'm not picking on Home Depot, but if you're working at Home Depot and you're trading your time for 8 hours a day, your 8 hours a day for some paycheck, and you're coming home and thinking, oh, I have this, you know, side gig that I need to be building, and you're then sitting down after dinner and watching, you know, 6 hours of TV, you're not an entrepreneur. you're a Home Depot employee.
Absolutely. And, you know, it just won't come in. Your ship will not come in. Unless, you know,
you got to swim out to it.
You got to swim out to it, man. You know, you have to. And there's going to be some there. And when you swim out to it, there's going to be someone there that doesn't want you to come on board. And you're going to have to take care of that guy. You're going to have to get rid of him. You know, you have to do something, you know.
Okay.
And unless you have that mentality, you're probably not. You're not an entrepreneur.
Well, if you're still listening after all of that rant, then you're a true entrepreneur. So we're so glad that you're here. My guest today is Chad Peterson from Peterson Acquisitions, founder and CEO of Peterson Acquisitions, the man who has bought and sold and traded and bartered just hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars worth of companies. You have got to go to his website. It is petersonacquisitions.com. Sorry, I got that wrong. It's petersonacquisitions.com is his website. You need to take a look at some of the testimonials. It's fantastic. But the other thing I'm going to encourage you to do is go to petersonacquisitions.com, because I want you to see the man who is Chad Peterson. If you're driving right now, don't do it, because I don't want you to wreck. But I want you to put this down in your memory banks, and I want you to think about it. You know, petersonacquisitions.com, when you get to the office, when you get home tonight, I want you to pick up your iPad or your laptop, and I want you to put that in and look at it, because there's a video that I have watched so many times already of Chad talking about the grind, talking about how success doesn't, it doesn't fall in your lap, that you have to create it. And I love that. He's also an author, the guy who's doing, best-selling author of talking about selling the businesses and brokering them. So I want to come back now, Chad, and I want to leave some nuggets in the stream. Let's talk to the entrepreneur about, building a company to sell, building a company that it may be your exit strategy. And then we're going to get to acquisitions in a minute, but let's talk about exit strategy. You build a company thinking, I'm going to go public. What is the reality of that actually happening?
Well, if you know how to take a company public and you have a strategy around that, then great. But most of the time that's not really going to happen.
Yeah. So it's a lower probability, yeah. Right? So yeah, you have to build a company. How do I get to a liquidity event? What do I need to know as I'm an entrepreneur doing, let's say like you were, you have two or three employees, maybe you're doing a few million dollars a year. You're feeling like you're doing the right thing and you're going in the right direction. So what should I be thinking about as I start to think about my exit strategy for leaving or for liquidating this, getting a liquidity event so that I can actually, like you said, sell it, for X number of annual income and then go do it again. So what are the things that my listeners need to know right now?
Well, the number one thing about building a business to sell is to report your money and pay your taxes. That's the biggest mistake that people make.
There you
go. Because you're going to be selling your business based on the earnings. And there's two ways to run a business. The first way is to run a business and beat down your taxation number, maximize your lifestyle through the business, minimize your tax obligation, and kind of live under the radar and live a pretty good life, but take maximum advantage of U.S. IRS tax code. Well, that's one way to do it. But that's not the right way to do it if you're going to sell your business. If you're going to sell your business, you want to maximize your profit and you want to pay taxes on it. And you want to do your very best to build that business where it's not just exclusively reliant upon you. If you have people around you that understand the business, that are managers or people that work right below you, give them as much responsibility as possible. And get the company to be an actual company to where you can at any given time step out of it. Those are the businesses that sell. Reporting your earnings and an actual company where the owner is not so important to the operation. And that way the new owner can step in and probably bring some more excitement and energy to it. Maybe a little bit different marketing or managing or messaging. I call those the three M's. Maybe the new owner brings that in. So you've got to be able to step out of your business. And so a good litmus test for somebody who wants to build their business and sell their business is, go ahead and ask yourself, if I left for a month, will everything be okay? And if you can't say that, then you've still got work to do on your business. Because at that point, you don't own a business. The business owns you.
Wow.
And in which case, you don't really have something that's highly marketable.
Wait a second. Before you go on, you blew my mind. Yeah. So if you can't leave, if you can't take a month off and go on a, European vacation for a month and come back and have your business still intact and still running and still making a margin and still making profit, then you don't own a business. Your business owns you. Man, we got to put that on a t-shirt, brother.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, very true. And, the thing is that people say I own this business, and then I go, okay, well, great. Well, tell me about it. And they'll start talking, and I'll say, okay, well, how's that going? Okay, well, I've got a problem with this. I'm doing this. Man, I'm just tired. I'm tired of this, tired of that. Okay, well, it doesn't sound like you own a business. Sounds like it owns you. and I'll start gently, and then you know, they'll give me all their complaints and everything else. And typically it comes down to three problems, managing, marketing, and messaging. And so typically that's where every business owner is going to have pain. And so if you don't have your management figured out, which is say your employees and responsibilities and everybody pulling their weight and pretty much eliminating you as the owner, then you've got problems. If you have a marketing problem, that means you have a business problem. You have an incoming client problem and you don't have the flow of business coming in, which then can affect every other thing. And if you have a messaging problem, which most people do, then you're not speaking to the market. If you tell me what your company name is and I don't know what your company does in a real hurry, you have failed your business. So the three M's, management, marketing, and messaging, that's usually what business owners are failing in. And that's exactly why they can't leave for a couple weeks or a month, because those three things are suffering. So if you solve those three problems, then you should be able to step out, tell your employees, hey guys, I'm only gone for 30 days. Only email me with emergencies, if any, and I'll see you in a month. You should be able to do that. And otherwise you're simply owned by your business. You don't own anything.
So you bought yourself a job. You built yourself a job.
Yeah. And with that being said, we can still sell that business. It's not like it's not sellable. It's just not as marketable.
Right.
You know,
so you're not going to get the top dollar for it, and you're not going to get that 3X like we talked about, where you're generating $250,000 a year in revenue. You're not going to get a 750 out of it to where you can, you know, use that 3 years to leverage and triple your income like you talked about earlier. I understand. Okay, that's fantastic. Right. So that right there is a nugget that's laying there, guys. You need to be. This is the barometer, the litmus test. So the two things that I heard out of this last, you know, conversation is, one, you need to be using the United States tax code as the barometer to show that your company is successful. You need to be able to say, you know, as a percentage of my income, I'm paying this amount of tax. So if you're in a 30%, you know, corporate tax rate and you're paying $1 million in taxes, guess what? You've got a $3 million company. You know, so, I mean, that type of thing. And then if you sell the company for 10X, that's now a $30 million value, right? I get it. That makes so much sense, because the other side of the coin, we've had entrepreneurs on this show. I mean, literally on this show in the last month that have said, guys, you need to be, you know, leveraging the tax code as strong as you can. But I hear what you're saying. You're saying is use that as the barometer to be able to show the world that you're a profitable company because you're paying your taxes, not, you know, you have to get to, I think there's probably a curve or some kind of spectrum that when you start over here on the very far end, you want to maximize that and pay as little tax as possible to keep as much money flowing into the business. Then you get to this point where you're in this stellar growth mode and you're making a lot of money and you want to use that as, you know, selling while you're at the top of your game. And then at the other end, when you get so big, so huge, then you probably get back to that other side of that curve, which is where I want to minimize the amount of tax liability I have. Is that a true statement, or am I just completely off base here, Chad?
No, that's true. But if you want to sell for maximum dollar, you need to be reporting every dollar you can, quit living out of your business, and pay taxes on everything. Don't, you know, if you can show earnings, you want to show your max earnings. That way we can show what that new owner is going to get. And usually, right. You know, it's 2020 now, and you might be ready to sell in 2021. Well, right now, before you file your 2020 tax return, make sure that you pay as much tax as you can, because that's going to be showing your earnings. That's going to be showing the highest earnings, and that's going to attract the right buyers, and it's going to show them that if they put in the work that you did, they can make that money, and that's what they want to know. And then they want to know secondarily, what kind of lifestyle is this business going to provide me? And if it's a lifestyle of working 80 hours a week to earn that money, not everybody wants to do that. You know, everybody that wants to buy a business, see, the entrepreneurs, like you said earlier, they'll work 80 or 90 hours a week just to not work for somebody else. Well, most business buyers are not of that stripe. Most business buyers, they're out of corporate. They're probably an executive, or they were up in their management somewhere. And they just want to buy a business, and they want to work their 40 or 50 hours a week, And because they don't have that grit and that fire in their belly to start that business as an entrepreneur. So they want to walk right in and take the owner's position and not have a hitch in the operation and just take the owner's paycheck. That's the whole idea behind this. So if you don't have a business that can do that for the buyer, then you're less marketable. So you have to build, you know, when you talk about exit strategy, build your business, build it right, have a good solid management system in place, have good solid marketing, and have a good solid message to the market as to what your business does. Report your earnings, pay your taxes, maximize your profit, and you're ready to sell.
That's fantastic. Now let's talk about the next. We're so fast running out of time. I'm so glad you're here. You are leaving just tremendous gold in the stream, and we're just running behind you and picking it up, and I'm so, so excited. My guest today, if you're just joining us, is Chad Peterson, the CEO and founder of Peterson Acquisitions at petersonacquisitions.com. A best-selling author, a man who has just bought and sold hundreds of companies, just done phenomenal things in his life. And we're talking today about you as the entrepreneur getting through the exit strategy we just finished. And now we're going to talk about growth through acquisition. So let's talk about for a few minutes, let's talk about the next strategy. And that is, you know, so you're a successful entrepreneur. You're that person that worked 80 hours. You've started to build your company like you just suggested. I've taken your advice and I'm able to go away for a month. My business doesn't own me. I'm managing correctly. I'm marketing correctly. Things are working really well. And now I want to enhance my lifestyle. I want to start looking at maybe I want to grow. I'm already growing organically pretty well. I've had people come in and want to give me investment, but then I'm going to have to take on partners or heaven forbid, VC or, you know, equity partners or something. So, but instead, I've got some cash, you know, saved up, or I've got some stock options, or I've got some leverage I can use. Talk to us about growth through acquisition.
Well, yeah, and growth through acquisitions is really the only way to grow anymore, in my opinion. And let's take a look at the big guys. You know, let's look at Coca-Cola. Let's look at Dr. Pepper. Let's look at Let's take a look at Taco Bell. Let's look at these big giants who realize that they have to be buying up everybody around them, because it's just too damn painful to reinvent the wheel every time. It's, you know, for instance, if you want to build your company and you want to do it one employee at a time, let's say you owned a plumbing company, okay? Well, one employee in one van at a time is really painful, because you know what? You're going to hire an employee, you're going to pay them 40 or 50 or 60 grand a year, and they've got other dreams and aspirations. They're not loyal to the operation, they're not loyal to your cause. And it takes a real entrepreneur to go through and hire one by one to get there. But it's much wiser to go buy a plumbing company that has 80 vans and 160 employees. That's how you grow. You don't grow, and you have to grow through acquisitions anymore. You gotta buy out the competition. And it's pretty easy to do so. It only takes 10% to buy a business. A lot of people don't understand that. If you want to buy a business that is $3 million, well, in theory, that business should be throwing off about $1 million in cash flow or net earnings a year. All it takes to buy that $1 million of earnings a year is 10% of the purchase price, which in this case is 300 grand. That's all you need. So let me give your audience a little example. Let's say you're not doing very well. Let's just say you're making 150 grand a year and you're working your ass off, but it's a sellable business. You've got something that somebody's going to want. Let's say right now during COVID, somebody lost their job and now they need to buy a job. Well, if you were to come to me to sell your business and you're just making 150 grand net, well, I can sell that business for, say, let's just say 400 grand. What people don't understand, and if I could get a megaphone and scream it into the universe, I would say, I'll take your 150 grand that you're making now, I'll get you to a $400,000 payday, and I can walk you right into a $3 million business that's paying you over $1 million a year. And I can do that inside of 6 months. So if you're making 150 grand a year right now in your business and you want to sell and you want to make $1 million a year, I can do that within 6 months. It only takes 10% of the purchase price to do so. And then once you have that business that's $3 million, that's throwing out $1 million of earnings, it's much easier to go to the bank and say, hey, I want to swallow up my competition and go buy another plumbing company that has 50 vans. Because now the bank knows that you have enough cash flow to support that next loan, even without the earnings of that next company you're going to buy. And that's where we get into growth through acquisitions. You'd rather grow one company at a time at 50 employees at a time than you would one employee and one van at a time. Does that make sense?
That makes fantastic sense. I mean, it sounds like that's exactly what the big guys are doing every day. They're just leveraging one company to the next company to the next company. And then before you know it, they own the market. And then by owning a larger percentage of the market, you can also, and again, I don't want to get into the politics of it, but you can almost control the pricing. You start to be able to, you know, dictate the pricing and the service to the market, because if you own 60% of the market, there's not a lot of people out there doing what you're doing. And if you keep the bar high for getting new competitors in, that's even better. Let's keep the bar really high. And that way I can, this is so brilliant. That's exactly what we should be doing.
Yeah. And I'll tell you this, you know, a lot of people don't understand when they should, and I'll make it real simple for your audience. When you are doing well, is the time to sell. So often people want to sell their business whenever they're in a downtrend because they couldn't fathom selling their business when it was doing well. And there's a lot of psychology behind it. A lot of people, you know, have struggled, whether it be through college and that first job and second job and third job or whatever it is. And then, you know, they started this business and that was painful for the first year or two. And now it's really paying off, and that, you know, you're making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, and it just seems unfathomable. Like, why would I sell this thing? Well, the reality of it is that's the best time to sell. It's counterintuitive to the human psychology. So when is the best time to sell? Is when you're doing well. And I'll tell you this to your audience too. Where there is no passion, there is no profit. So I think what's amazing about the United States is that every 4 years, maybe eight, there's an opportunity for a new leader. And regardless of what side of the aisle you're on, it doesn't really matter. Every 4 years, somebody gets to come in with brazen and bold vigor and energy and ideas and concepts and ways. And it keeps us at the, you know, king of the mountain, so to speak. Well, as an entrepreneur, which is far different than a business owner. But let's just say you are an entrepreneur and you're building the business. It's hard to keep that energy, that vigor, that excitement beyond 3 years. Fourth year is a stretch. If you ask any United States president, after that third year of being president, man, they're ready to not be, really, if they answer it honestly. And their second term is never as powerful as their first.
That's why they come out gray-headed.
Exactly. So if you follow the psychology of it, if you've built the business and you're doing really well, go ahead and sell your business. Because let's say you're doing real well. Let's say you're making $800,000 a year. Let's just make it an easy number. Let's say you're making $1 million a year. You would probably tell yourself, why in the hell would I sell my business? And I would say, because you're doing well. Now we sell your business that's making $1 million. In fact, I got off the phone earlier with a guy out of New York. He's making $1.2 million a year. We're going to sell his business for $3.8 million. $3.8 million, if he wanted to, he has all the money in the world to go quadruple his income. And I can get that done inside of a year. So
because now you have the leverage. you have the leverage to go buy a $10 million business or a $20 million business that's putting out that kind of income. That's
because when you lose profit, when you lose passion, I can see it on your profit and loss statements. So somebody comes to me and says, well, I've been thinking about selling for 2 or 3 years, and I'll look at the last 3 years' profit and loss statements, and I can say, well, yeah, it looks like right here in 2017, you got about a 10% decrease, 15% decrease. And they're like, yeah, well, I had somebody quit, and I had somebody like, no, that's not what happened. You are losing passion, and you are no longer the effective leader you thought you once were because your passion is lost, and you can't. You don't have the same energy and the manifesting power to create whenever you first started it. You're burnt out. And as soon as burnout happens, I can see the profit go down in the profit losses. And now you've got downward trend, and now your business is not worth what it once was. So again, when you're doing well is the time to sell.
Fantastic. Oh my gosh. So we have to wrap this hour up. I am so excited. I want to invite you back anytime you can be our guest. We would love to have you here. My guest today is the CEO and founder of Peterson Acquisitions. His name is Chad Peterson. Here's what I want you to do. If you're listening to the sound of my voice right now and any of this has resonated with you, and if not, I just encourage you to go to petersonacquisitions.com. I want you to go there for three reasons that are super important. One, you can schedule a discovery call with Chad. It's absolutely free. This man is a grinder. This man will be on the phone with you. If you schedule a call with him, he will be on the phone with you, and he will give you these kinds of nuggets and this kind of information. And he'll convince you that he is the person that you should be working with. And I promise you, it's worth every second of your time. So schedule a discovery call. It's right on the website. You simply go to PetersonAcquisitions.com, and right on the front page, there's a bar. You just click on it. It says schedule discovery call. It'll pull up his calendar, and you simply click a time that works for you, and you will get Chad on the phone. It'll be fantastic. It'll be worth every second that it takes to do that. Second, if you're an entrepreneur right now and you have a company and you're sitting around wondering, is now the best time to sell? Because am I doing well? Because if he says, Chad's already told you, if you're doing well, now is the time to sell. I have tons of ego about this. I have built this company. I love this company more than my kids. I spend more time with it than my kids. All those things we talked about, but now would be the time. What is my business worth? If you go to the bottom of his website and there's another bar there that says, let's do an evaluation. Let's talk about what your company is worth today. If you want to know those key factors and how to actually find out what your company is worth to get that ballpark idea, if you can answer those questions honestly and you can have that conversation honestly with Chad, then you are going to find out what that company is worth. But third, and probably the most important reason, because I think it's just fantastic, is you just need to go to about the middle of the page, the middle of his website, just scroll down past a few of his testimonials, and you're going to see this absolute brawly mountain man, just this full bearded. This guy does not look like, and I'm sorry, Chad, I'm not trying to be offensive, but he doesn't look like he just stepped out of
Harvard
or Stanford, or he doesn't look like that he's got the, you know, he's not the chiseled, you know, chin and the, you know, the $2,000 suit. This guy is a worker. You see this guy and you're going to look at him and you're going to say, oh my gosh, that's the guy I want. You know, I want this guy hanging out with me because he's a real man. He does it, you know, for real. This is a guy that's going to straight shoot it to you completely 100% straight. And you should watch this video at least 3 times because every time I watch it, I'm going, that is so cool because he's a real guy that will really do it. So go to PetersonAcquisitions.com, and for those 3 reasons, find out what your business is worth and if you should sell it now. Get a discovery call with Chad and watch the video, just because there's tons of information there. I mean, his website's fantastic. You'll love it. But you've got to get engaged. You've got to get engaged with Chad for this to make any sense at all. Gosh, Chad, any last thoughts before we wrap up today?
You know, last thought I would give your audience is, you know, every year you have to go see an accountant or a CPA to file your taxes. Around that time, you should be equally as charged or motivated to contact a business broker, somebody who's in the merger and acquisition space. Every year you should be looking at what your business is worth. Your accountant or your CPA is not going to know. So as soon as you go to do your taxes, you should also be having a meeting with the guy that you trust to sell your business, because every year you should know what your business is worth, because any day could come where you're like, you know what, I've had it, I'm fed up with this, and I've got a new adventure that I want to go seek. I've got a new passion within me. And if you're always uncertain of what your business is worth, then you're never going to be motivated to take it to market. So every year you do taxes, you should also get a value for your business. So you're always prepared to sell. And I'm not in the right now business. So if any of your audience contacts me, they don't have to be right now, ready right now. I can talk to them now, and if they're ready in 2 years, we can pick back up. But every year they should be getting an assessment of what their business is worth, so they're always ready to pull the trigger whenever they are ready.
Great advice. Okay, so I'm going to recap just briefly, because I think there were so many nuggets here that I'm going to forget some of them. But one, if you're doing well, it's time to sell. I love that. That's a great phrase. I want to put it on a t-shirt. I think it's fantastic. That was a piece of advice that you heard from Chad Peterson today, and you should be keeping that. One, do you own your business, or does your business own you? And I'm not going to get into the details around that, but that's another t-shirt waiting to happen. Do you own your business, or do your business own you? What's your business worth, right? How do you actually determine? And then can you take a month off? Can you take a month off and go do what you want to do as an entrepreneur? Those are nuggets that we're laying in the stream today, that if you are just listening, if you're catching the tail end of this broadcast and you're kind of going, what did I miss? You need to go back and listen to this, because we've got to get Chad back on here on a regular basis, because the nuggets are laying there and they're just ready to be picked up. So, and the last one that we just heard is, do an annual, you know, just take the temperature, do an annual check, you know, check the barometer. Oh, the other one I forgot. Pay your taxes and use the United States government tax code to actually show what your business is worth by actually creating value and having it so that you have a barometer of what your business is worth. But the last one that he talked about today is, when you go see your accountant, also go see your broker, find out what your business is worth. And all kinds of other great pieces of information that we're laying in the stream, ready for you to pick up. Chad, you have been an absolute dream. Everything that I thought that we were going to talk about has come true tenfold. I knew you were going to be a guy with passion. I knew you. Oh, that, there's another one. If you've lost passion, you've lost profit. Oh, I've got t-shirts coming out. I'm going to start a new business today on just making t-shirts. Chad Peterson says.
Yeah. I appreciate being on your show. I really do. And I think that we've given them, given your audience a lot of value. You've been fantastic. And I've just really enjoyed being here. And I would be glad to come back anytime you'd have me.
Well, I appreciate it. If you're listening to the sound of our voices today and this show has resonated with you, I say it every week and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I could not do what I do without you, the listener. I am so, so thankful, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I'm so thankful that you listen. I would love for you right now to just scroll to the bottom of the page, wherever you get your podcast, whether it's Apple or Google or any of the other places, you know, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, we're there. It's called Mind Your Own Business, and I'm Scott Sullivan, your host, each and every week. Just go to the bottom of that page, scroll down, click like or subscribe. If you feel so inclined, leave a review. Say, this was fantastic. I love Chad. Whatever it was, we appreciate that, because that feedback that you give us lets us know we're taking the show in the right direction and we're doing the things that are necessary to help you be a better entrepreneur. The one company that I want to thank every single week, and I sometimes am amiss because I don't spend enough time gushing about them, and that is Inspired News Radio. If you haven't been to inspirednewsradio.com lately, please go there. They are a internet radio station that hosts my show every single week. It's a super simple, easy way to find my show. You can literally click on it. You know me, I'm on every single platform. I'm all over LinkedIn. I'm all over Facebook, Instagram, of course, Twitter. I get all of that feedback and it comes back through me and my team. And I am so thankful for you guys. But inspirednewsradio.com, fantastic place. They put positive programs out into the world that are designed to inspire, inform, educate, and motivate. They're all about the positive programming. That's why I put my show, Mind Your Own Business, every single week on Inspired News Radio. Now, of course, it's available everywhere else you find your podcasts. But if you want a quick and easy way to find me, I'm not in all, don't have to go to Apple Podcasts. You don't have to search. You don't have to, you know, go through hundreds of thousands of podcasts. You can simply click on and bookmark inspirednewsradio.com. And all of the show hosts are there. There's 25 or 30 of them. You can find really cool shows. It's almost all about business and positivity and information that'll make your life better. I am the only business guy on the platform, so it works out really well. Go to inspirednewsradio.com. Click on my name and my face, and you'll see all of my shows listed there. And the last one that you'll see is, of course, Chad Peterson. And all of the show notes and the contact information and everything we talked about will be right there so that you can find it and quick and easy. And if you want to leave some feedback there, and I'll make sure Chad gets it. I appreciate it. I say it every single week. Mind your own business, because nobody else is going to.
You've been listening to Mind Your Own Business right here on InspiredNewsRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in each week as we interview some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs of the world. You can reach us on Twitter at INR Talk Radio. Always use the hashtag MYOB for Mind Your Own Business. Make sure you stop by and check out all of the past episodes and all the great things that are available on our website, www.inspirednewsradio. There's great resources there that you can find for all of our other shows, too. Thanks for being a part of the Inspired News Radio family. Until next week, remember to mind your own business.